It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tyre Power, get 4 for $3 on Kumho passenger and SUV tyres. Your trusted tyre experts. That's Tyre Power.
Mourn Team Kia at Cheltenham and Mount Barker for all your class-leading Kia vehicles and servicing.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh. Let's
go! We are live in SENSA Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA at 8:06 on this Tuesday morning. Mark Bickley, we love catching up with our next guest, our very own from SEN, Sam Edmund, is with us to talk everything AFL. Morning to you, Sam, and you were enjoying On The Mark just then.
I loved it, Walshy. Good morning to you, Bix. Great little segment. And I've got a little addition, actually.
Oh, please.
I liked it so much. I just quickly scribbled one down. So with no forewarning to you, Bix, I want to ask you, the surprise that Dyson Heppel felt at being subbed off, and I'm not sure if you've seen the vision of this, but handed the red vest and the shock at what, me? Should a player of his calibre, obviously a former captain, a veteran player at that club over a long period of time, should he be given some forewarning by the coach, in this case Brad Scott, that perhaps you might be subbed off if a situation arises, or is all fair?
That is off the mark. I think sometimes whatever the game throws up. Now, if he's, for whatever reason, the coach looks at him and says, look, you know what, he's labouring a little bit, or, you know, we've got this in control. I'm not sure. Were they comfortably in front at that stage? And I was tied at three-quarter time and they ran away with it. No, they did that. Well, that's the cut and thrust of the game. And, yes, you can seek clarity at the end of the game, but, you know, Brad Scott, he's got them 2-0. I'm not sure there's any Essendon fans who are having a crack at him at the moment. So let's just buy into it. If you're a former skipper, you're there and you're just leading the way. And what the way you respond and the way you react should be the same as what a younger player does. I don't think there's any favours there. And I think over the journey, what I've seen and know of Dyson, he's been pretty good in that regard.
100%. I was just going to say, Walshy, the consummate professional. No issue from that. I just found Brad Scott's interview or press conference afterwards quite fascinating to say, you know, Dyson's never been subbed before. No doubt he would have been shocked. We didn't tell him beforehand. I haven't had a chance to speak to him yet. So I just found it interesting. On a weekend as well, where obviously Dustin Martin was subbed, albeit for hamstring tightness.
But he was very good, and he had the cameras on him, Dyson Heppel, and you could see he was a little bit shocked, but his reaction was good. And then, Sam, I wanted to ask you, is he one of the only players who has been used as the tactical sub? Because everyone else has really had a lot of injury. If you think for the weekend, Dane Zorko was subbed because he had reached his game time, he suggested, and felt that he was starting to cramp. And then we look at Dustin Martin, we find out that he had a bit of injury. So Brad Scott was being tactical and it worked for Essendon there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's been cases where there've been other tactical subs, but of high-profile players to off, then probably. Speaking of high-profile players, the tribunal's going to sit tonight to make judgment on the Richmond defender, Nathan Broad, of course, who was charged over there at the Adelaide Oval for rough conduct on Adelaide's Paddy Parnell. So it's high contact, severe impact, which obviously equates to a 3-week minimum, the trigger to go straight to the tribunal. Not sure if you guys have discussed this already. I'm sure you have. 4 minimum, possibly more for mine. And obviously we come back to Shane McAdam, who got 3 for that bump. Jacob Weir, obviously it didn't concuss him. He went through the protocols, but obviously in this case with young Paddy well and truly in the protocols now, Adelaide confirming that, then I would have thought the threshold had to be 4 minimum. Perhaps even north of that.
Well, exactly. And we've had a couple of text messages reminding us of a similar incident in 2021 where Scott Lysette tackled Ned McHenry, picked him up, dumped him, knocked him out cold, and that was 5 weeks. So there is a little bit of a precedent, and that's where it's going to land. I'm pretty certain of that. It's going to be 4 or 5, and depending on what type of defence they mount, but I don't think anyone would be unhappy with that if you're not a Richmond supporter. And I think what Nathan will do and what Damien Hardwick will do, they're bracing themselves for a big suspension. And I think they'll cop it on the chin because they know that this is not where we want our game to be right now.
Ryan Burton as well. Two matches for that dumb tackle. Josh Simkin, the one match for that off-the-ball strike on Caleb Sorong. No surprises there. And then last night, Gold Coast lost Charlie Ballard for a week for striking Matt Guelfi. It appeared to be straight up and down, but the Suns last night releasing a statement to say that they would still advise this morning whether they will challenge or not. So they're at least leaving the door ajar. I'm not sure what you think about this, guys, but I would have thought you'd take the week and run with that one. Yep. Low impact, yes, but a real brain fade.
Yeah, and then just, whilst they might seem inconsequential, they're just, there's no need. Why would you be doing that sort of stuff? And look, I've done dumb things on the footy field. You put your hand up for them, but yeah, I'm not sure you're going to argue the point on it and try and get off when it's pretty blatant.
Sam, talk to us about Optus Stadium. The AFL have come out and officially ruled what happened with the siren gate. There's been some conspiracies floating around that there may be different parts of audio. Our very own Kane Corns has suggested there may be doctored audio. And we just need a result. What's happened?
No, I don't think that was Kane's words exactly. But yeah, the conspiracy theorists love this sort of stuff, don't they? I think we can overthink it. I mean, at the end of the day, is the siren gone while the ball's still in play? I mean, according to the vision I've seen, I would say yes. And I think it's as simple as that. Now, there's provision in the rules, of course, where the ball's kicked in and it's in mid-flight when the siren goes. And if it goes through for a goal, it's a goal. So there's some clear conflicts there. But the rules clearly state that when the ball goes out of bounds on the full as well, even if it's in mid-flight, that free kick can't be awarded. There's nothing written for insufficient intent when we go directly to the boundary line. So maybe a tweak needed there. But I think at the end of the day, Fremantle had their chances, didn't they? They had more than 2 hours to win that game. They couldn't. And he also would have had to kick it from the junction of the 50 and the boundary. So whether that's a 50-50 chance of him even scoring from there, possibly. But look, for mine, the siren goes when the ball's in play.
Well, the other thing to understand as well is the umpires have earpieces in, and when the siren goes, that comes through their ear instantly. So, and the rule is when the umpire hears the siren, and so there are some people saying, oh yeah, but the siren blew and the, you know, like I said, the ball was out of bounds, but it's like the umpire gets it instantly. And if he instantly looks at the ball and he still sees it in play, then that's what he would be ruling on. It's line ball for mine, but anyway, we move on. Yeah. I think the coach, Justin Longmuir, he just was diplomatic with it and don't think it's going to change.
Handled it well. And the rule is, just for the avoidance of doubt, when the umpire hears the siren, it's the end of the game. It's not when he blows the whistle. It's not when the arms signals, go. It's when... He first hears the siren. Hey, big injury news out of Richmond last night, guys. So there might be 90,000 at the MCG this Friday night for the Richmond-Collingwood game, but Jaden Short will be sitting among them. So interesting the way they've done this. He came into round one with a calf concern. He was considered touch and go. He got through. Then he backed up, obviously, against the Crows in round two, but the club has now pulled the pin on him to do what they're calling some strong rehab on it. So no timeline on that. Jacob Hopper doubtful, of course. Dustin Martin, they'll make a decision on tomorrow. As I said, subbed off with hamstring tightness and a short break. And Ivan Soldo out for the short to medium term with some nasty plantar fasciitis, which is always a tricky one. Stephen May will return for Melbourne this week as well. How welcome will that be? Christian Salem's got his own knee concerns, meniscus operated on yesterday morning, so that's several weeks on the sidelines for him. And George Hewitt, again, a test with that break in his hand for the Blues.
I'm surprised that Jacob Hopper came back onto the field the way his injury looked on the weekend.
Well, I was about to make that point. He was very good for Richmond in that game, and the way his foot was collapsed under his body weight when he was tackled, you just thought, oh, this is going to be very difficult for him. I thought they were going to get the stretcher out first of all. Then they got him up. Then he ran off. And then a couple of minutes later, he's back on again. So depending on how quickly that recovers, generally the first day or two, you get an indication. You know, they're either you play on them or they're 2 or 3 weeks. They're very, very rarely a one-week ankle.
Just before we let you go, Sam, Daisy Pearce, there's been some more news about the controversy in her and opposing clubs' change rooms.
Now, obviously, she's working an assistant coach at Geelong and balancing that with her media commitments for Channel 7. But the Brisbane Lions have become, Walshy, the second club to ban her from their change rooms. Now, the Lions yesterday told Channel 7 that they would follow Richmond in saying Daisy's not welcome in their rooms for this Thursday night's game against the Western Bulldogs. Must be said, not all clubs have an issue. It's quite interesting at the moment. The Blues are prepared to allow her into their rooms for the season opener. She ended up not taking up that opportunity. But she was welcome. And the Western Bulldogs advised Channel 7 yesterday that she's welcome to come in either before or after the game this Thursday night. So it is a fascinating one. Conflicts of interest in the AFL, they aren't rare, but we see directors of football in rooms all the time. I know Mark Rusciuto's in the rooms all the time. Luke Darcy, Jimmy Bartel has done it. I think Josh Jenkins is an assistant coach at the Cats, funnily enough, and Richmond allowed him in at the end of last season, around 23. But perhaps Daisy's profile, the jobs he's just taken at Geelong as well, optically, the clubs don't want to have her in. I'm just not sure how much you see, Bix, when you go into those rooms.
Exactly. I would have thought you don't want to, in the inner sanctum, which is the meeting room where it's got, you know, team selections and notes and all those type of things, there. But in the broader room, like, I'm not sure where you've got 30 people from the public in there, for goodness sake.
And with iPhones and all sorts of things.
And you've got, TV cameras, and you've got Roaming Brian who's walking around everywhere. And so you've got stuff in the background. Yeah, I'm just not sure what that's all about. Maybe it's, I don't know, it's semantics for mine anyway.
Yeah.
I've been told that Mark Bickley has been banned from the Crows change rooms because he's walking around asking people if they want his autograph at Crows home game. So that's another controversial thing. Jared, Sam, we appreciate your time. Oh, yes, Mark.
Stop, please.
thank you so much for your time. As always, the first couple of rounds go so quickly. And the great thing about the first couple of rounds is that the crowds build up a showdown in Adelaide. There's a derby in Western Australia and traditional rivals in Victoria as well. So, Sam Edmund, thanks for your time.
Good on you, lads. Speak soon.
Bix, after 8 o'clock, we will speak with Todd Marshall from the Port Adelaide Football Club. It is SENSA. We are live in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA.